Good evening, everybody. This is Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom. This is a show where we access the Akashic Records, and you get to call in and ask your questions about your soul's intention, about your life. And we have lots of interesting things to say, usually, and the callers are usually wonderful, and we get a chance to talk about things that are happening in the world, or wanting to understand why things are happening in the world, why things are happening in your life, why things are happening or have happened in your life. So we kind of talk, and then we also have folks that email their questions, We also have, so if you want email information, we have an email address that you can send, and that would be to info@akashicwisdom.com. Same name as the show, info@akashicwisdom.com. And then we also have the numbers for you to call in. And those numbers are 530-413-4511, 530-413-4515, or 530-413-4520. Or if you're in the San Francisco area, you can call 415-287-0074. Okay, so here's the thing. You get to call in and ask questions about your life, or you can email questions, as I said. For those people who are just tuning in for the very first time, I access the Akashic Records with a specific prayer. It's a specific sacred prayer that shifts the energy to make the information accessible. And I've been doing this for 14 years. I do private consultations, and I also teach classes. I teach people how to access their own Akashic Records. And we have wonderful classes. We also have classes to teach you how to access the Akashic Records of other people. And there's other intensives that we have on prosperity, and we have on forgiveness, and just want to do a bit of a review. So last week, when we were talking, there was a message that came forward from the Akashic Record Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones. And it was about how we need to be able to access and align ourselves with our own personal love. What we are in this on this earth to do is to truly learn how to love ourselves. And when we learn how to love ourselves, we can then align and move in to loving others, truly. The interesting thing about it is sometimes in this work, the more you delve into things, the more questions that come, and that's the good thing. But there's also information that shows up to answer questions and to also confirm what you're thinking or believing. So today, in my email, I received a sermon, if you will, an excerpt of a sermon from a place called the Living Truth Center. It's a Living Truth Center for Better Living, and it's in East Cleveland, Ohio. And so this, what I'm about to read to you, was an excerpt from a June 2nd, 2006 Daily Inspiration. It was authored by Reverend Alice J. Brown, and she's a senior minister of Living Truth Center for Better Living, Incorporated. So I wanted to be able to credit her with what I'm about to read you. And if, in fact, you would like a copy of it, you can certainly email me at info@akashicwisdom.com, and I will forward it to you. So the name of the piece is Recognize Your Greatness. There is value and power in your thinking. You breathe automatically. Your blood circulates without interference from you. Your cells multiply, and your skin heals itself when it's injured. You are creative. You are knowledgeable, and you are a spiritual being. You are all that God is. Can you see your greatness now? Call that person into being now by taking time daily to sit and identify in your mind's eye the fantastic individual that you truly are. Remember in the beginning that God called his creation good and very good. Thus, you are divine and can truly say that you are all that God is. Can you recognize your greatness now? And this was inspired by the Psalms 150 and then the colon 2. The quote is, "Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his surpassing greatness." And so, as this year begins, it's going to be very important for us to look at the here and now of our lives. It's very important for us to really step into our greatness, and I include myself in this. And the reason this is important is because unless we really stay in the here and now, it's going to be impossible to move into anything else. We must stay in the here and now. Now, there was a piece that I was lucky enough to receive from a very dear friend of mine. And it was about rescuing a wild bear. And the story is, and if anybody would like me to email them this picture story, I can certainly do it. Anyway, I'm going to tell you the story. And there's a moral to this. And if you want the actual pictures, there was somebody that took pictures of this whole thing, and it's just marvelous. So it seems that there's this bridge on the old Donner Pass Highway. It has a spectacular view of Donner Lake and Donner Pass on Route 80. A bear was walking across Rainbow Bridge, which is old Highway 40 at Donner Summit in Truckee, on Saturday when two cars, also crossing the bridge, scared the bear into jumping over the edge of the bridge. Somehow, the bear caught the ledge and was able to pull itself to safety. Authorities decided that nothing could be done to help Saturday night, so they returned Sunday morning to find the bear sound asleep on the ledge. And you have to see these pictures. They're wonderful. So email me, and I'll be happy to email you. I guess this happened in 2007. So these wonderful folks go on to say, after securing a net under the bridge, the bear was tranquilized, fell into the net, lowered, then woke up and walked out of the net. And there's actual pictures of this bear doing so. It's amazing. So there's a moral to the story. It's written here. This old bear made a wrong move and found he was hanging by his nails. Somehow, he was able to pull himself up onto the ledge where he saw he was in a very bad, impossible situation. And what did he do? Yep, he took a nap. And sure enough, God took care of the situation while he was asleep. The moral of the story is that when confronted with a bad situation, sometimes the best solution is to take a nap and let God take care of the rest. And the end of it is, I'm going to take a nap right now, God is on the job. Amen. So you really need to really understand the moral. The moral is that when confronted with a bad situation, sometimes the best solution is to take a nap and let God take care of the rest. And so what's important here, now again, if you want a copy of this, I'm happy to send it out to you. Send it, email me and just say bear story, or email me and say greatness and bear story, or you can email me and say 2011 message, greatness, bear story. And if you know, if you just want to email me and ask for that stuff in the body of your email, just fine, and I will forward it all to you. What's important here is for us to understand when we are in a bad situation, when it's important to really let go and let God, and when we have to take action. Now, sometimes taking action is no more than just taking that nap. Sometimes taking action is really letting our faith go to God, and opening a book and seeing what the book has to say to us about the situation. Maybe it's just about taking the book and saying, I need a message, God. Give me a message through the written word here. And it can be any book for that matter. Spiritual books work better. Books on birds may not be so hot, but you never know. But so the idea here is that we as human beings need to understand that we are a part of the total and complete picture. We wouldn't be here if that weren't the case. So we need to really invest ourselves into releasing what we believe to be is the control. Now, there are certain things we can control in life, and there are certain things we can't. So what we have to focus on is the things that we can control. And what we have to release is the things we have no control over. We have no control over the weather. We have no control over the government, whether we like to think about it or not. The reality is our leaders will do what they need to do, and all we can do is vote yes or no, depending on what it is. And somehow that just doesn't work either, sometimes. So we have control over ourselves. We do not have control over the weather. We have control over ourselves. We have no control over war. We have control of ourselves. We have no control over the traffic in the morning. All we can do is start out earlier. So what we're saying here is that the control that you have is of yourself. That's the only thing that you can control. And so the reality is that when you feel totally out of control, the most important piece to do is either to take the nap or to make up, and or, I'm being corrected here. When you're feeling totally out of control, when you're feeling overwhelmed, it's going to be very important for you to write down why you feel overwhelmed or what the overwhelm is really about, to the point that you can't write anymore. Then you take your nap. And once you take your nap, you really give it over to God. And that's going to be very important. Very, very important. And what's also coming is we have to look at our life as a garden. And the garden has to do with the seeds that we plant and the seeds that we nurture and the seeds that we water and the seeds that grow. And we have to look at our life and those seeds, and we have to weed our garden, because the weeds will entangle themselves around the roots of our wonderful plants. And the weeds are the thoughts that we carry that no longer serve us. It's the beliefs that we have that literally threaten to suffocate or rip apart or stop the growth of our wonderful roots. And thus, because they stop the growth, our plants can't bloom. Our ideas can't bloom. Our flowers can't bloom. Because we are inundated with the weeds of old beliefs and old ideas and opinions of others. So we need to weed our garden, the garden of our mind, the garden of our thoughts, not once a year, not twice a year, but daily, beyond daily, hourly. We can no longer allow a weed to sprout that would stop or suffocate our growth. So we have to be very much vigilantly aware of what we need to do and what our thoughts are thinking. Because our minds are comprised of thoughts that are constant. It's like we get into a groove and the mind thoughts keep going over and over again, and they play even when we don't realize we're thinking about them. And so it's going to be very important from this point forward to be very vigilant on what we're doing. Very vigilant. Now, Tuesday is a very interesting day. Tuesday is 1-1-1-1. So Tuesday is January 11th, 2011. So there is a lot of those power numbers there. Very important. Very important. So what we have to do is somehow before Tuesday move in to the depths of our thoughts and begin weeding like crazy. Just look at that. So what do you need to weed from your heart? What do you need? What support do you need from here? How can I help you? How can the masters, teachers, and loved ones help you? Let me know. Call in and talk to me. Call in and let's get those weeds. Let's get the hose out and the weeders weeding and get those weed whackers going. So give me a call at 530-413-4511 or 413-4515 or 530-413-4520. Now's the time to call. Let's get those things going. Okay, we have a question here. It's a question from JoJo. Hi, JoJo. Thanks for your recent shows. They've certainly been helpful. How much of a factor does astrocartography play in the successes and failures in a person's life? Are there multiple locations on the planet that would be ideal for a person to live? Or is there a sweet spot? Well, that's a great question. So for those people who want to understand or possibly are not familiar with astrocartography is a tool that is used to discover that the locations on the map that are most in alignment with the benefit of, let's say, a career or relationships or finances, etc., based on your birthday and birth birthday, time, and location of birth. And it doesn't necessarily mean that where you were born is where you will enjoy the most success. What's interesting about astrocartography, though, is that astrocartography may have one line that is most beneficial for, let's say, prosperity. Then maybe there's another, and it goes by longitude and latitude, and then there's another longitude and latitude line that'll be most most beneficial for relationships, and maybe another one that will be most beneficial for career. And what the key is to find the longitude and latitude of where you will be will have a balance of both happiness in career, happiness in financial prosperity, and happiness in relationships and health. And so a good astrocartographer, there are actual programs out there, if you Google astrocartography, that will kind of give you some general information. But a good astrologer may in fact be able to pinpoint it. And so JoJo's question here is, how much of a factor does astrocartography play? And what I'm hearing is, in some cases, it's very important. But what makes it more important than ever is the ability of the person to what I'm hearing is put their best foot forward. And another thing has to do with belief systems, but you particularly, JoJo, would be, and this is what's coming to me, is would be most helpful for you to look into the astrocartography of the desert. As much as you love the water, there's something about, like, the Sedona area, and I'm totally coming from the records here, there's a gallery there that wants your work, or what I'm feeling very strongly is that that's a place for you to really check into. So the astrocartography can be very important, but remember, whenever it comes to anything of a divination type of a situation, for example, as they say, the stars can give you shine, kind of show you the way, but it's up to you to take action. See, it's not like, and I'm not speaking just to you here, JoJo, I'm speaking to everyone. So, for example, one person, if you get something, some astrocartography done, you can't assume just because you show up in this place, you don't have to step forward and let yourself be known, because that's not the way it works. You, no matter where you go, you have to put the action in to what needs to be done. So I hope that has answered your question. But if you have more questions, you need to call in. And I have given you guys the numbers, or you can also email, but you want to call 530-413-4511 or 530-413-4515 or 530-413-4520. And again, if you're in the San Francisco area, 415-287-0074. So, good question, though. Very good question. So we have another question from Brent. And Brent has asked, could you ask the master teachers and loved ones and see if I have an Atlantean or Lemurian connection? They also said that it was my time to claim my own wisdom. I think this would be a big piece of my puzzle to help do this. Having a strong Pleiadian connection and having energies coming from my hands, it seems to point to one of these two civilizations. that may in fact be true, Brent, but you're living in the now. And so what's important for you to understand is that whatever you brought forward from those two different civilizations, by the way, there were two of them, would be a talent you have now. You do have a strong Pleiadian connection. And what's important for you to do is to begin to look in the now. Your credentials come from your heart, not from a past life situation. And everyone out there, it's very important. Past lives are very important. They truly are. They've truly helped to make us who we are today. If, in fact, we have chosen to bring forward that information into this lifetime. But what's more important is your spiritual DNA holds all of your lifetimes in it. And no matter who you are, where you are, what you are, you can access that spiritual DNA regardless of what you suspect your past life experiences were. Just like our physical human DNA holds all the keys to and all the talents of all of our ancestors since beginning and beyond time, so does your spiritual DNA. And so what I want you all to observe and to visualize is that you become conscious of the integration, the intertwining of your spiritual and your human physical DNA. Allow those fibers to merge so that within your consciousness you begin to claim the talents that you have latent from your spiritual DNA and bring them forward into your human physical DNA. Now just take a moment and allow those wonderful fibers to merge, both energetically and physically. And it's very important that you get clear about who you are based on what you want to do. Search your heart to where your curiosity lies. Please understand, you no longer need permission to do what you want to do. The permission has been granted for you to fulfill your joy. Take one step at a time and see how the joy fits in your life based on the steps you're taking. Where are you when you are most at peace? Where are you when you're most at joy? When the statement is, where are you, it means where are you physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, and see how they all merge together. Where are you? It's really about sharpening your awareness and sharpening your eyes, by sharpening your eyes through your heart. Very important. Very important. So to try that. Just try it. Where do you want your joy to come from? We have a question about what's happening with the birds dying all over the world. It's not just birds that are dying, it's also the fish. And what's important to understand is that these deaths are coming from first of all, what's coming from the records here is that okay, thank you. Well, before we get into that, John from Vancouver is on the phone. Hello, John.
Hello.
Hello, is this John?
Yeah.
Hi, John. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And how are you?
I'm good. How can I help you?
I've been listening to you for a number of weeks now, and tonight in particular. How do I put this? I guess to make a joke, I'll say I couldn't meditate my way out of a wet paper bag.
And go ahead.
So, you know, it's like, okay, the way I'm living right now is... I have the little voice in my head. I got a certain amount of intuition, but basically, it's a very isolated type of being alive. I just know that I've got capacities to make connections and can't figure out how to make them. I'm an artist mostly by trade, but I also do caregiving. So between those two, I'm really wanting to make a bigger contribution than what I'm doing now. And most importantly, using the intuitive capacity that I have to make a connection with what source, I guess I could say. And then contribute to where I'm living.
Tell me what your real question is here.
Stuck.
Okay. Stuck.
Yeah, feeling isolated, not making don't have an inner connection. That kind of thing.
Okay, so tell me about your art. Do you have your computer off, by the way? The speakers on
off?
Your computer, are they off? Are your computer speakers off?
They're just right down to just about, you know.
Okay,
zero.
Great. All right. Yeah. So I was just getting a feedback. That's the reason I'm asking. All right, so okay. Tell me about your art.
I've done a whole whack of different things. I've done realist painting for the last 5 years. Before that, I did kids' books, where I created characters and illustrated kids' books, that kind of thing.
Okay.
You know, I've done a different variety of styles, and What I'm looking for is more like an inner spiritual expression kind of thing. Because if I do, like I've hit a certain level doing realism, and I do it really well, and I've gotten lots of accolades, but I'm starting to repeat myself, and I'm not interested in doing that. And so
okay.
I'm looking for an inner source of, I don't know what, but having to do with, you know, like what we see as reality is already kind of manufactured. So I'm more interested in how we see what we see and what it is happening before. Well, if you want to talk about the Matrix, I guess that would be it.
Okay. Here's what I'm seeing. The picture they're showing me is they're showing me branches with snow and ice on them.
Snow and ice.
Snow and ice.
Yeah, okay.
And they're not heavy branches. They're more delicate. It's almost like if you were to take... it's almost like they're going to tell me in a minute. They're showing me like a almost like a photograph, and it keeps switching from photograph to painting of these branches. It's almost like it looks like lace until you realize they're branches with snow and ice, and there's sparkles on them. And the reason they're showing me these branches with snow and ice is because there is a connection that you have when you create art in partnership with nature that connects you to the divinity of the all. Does this make any sense to you?
It's starting to, yeah. Okay, yeah.
I want you to just go there with your heart and just imagine. It's almost like you're looking at these branches from inside. You're looking at them inside. They're outside a window that's very clear. So you have the ability to literally reproduce those branches in the warmth of a room, but... And the more you stare at the nature, the more, the closer you get to God. And then they're showing me these branches as they move from the winter and the snow, and then they move into spring, and they're still barren, but they have buds. And then they show me how they blossom. And there's something about the journey from the cold and the ice to what looks like barren that's actually in gestation, to the blossom of the flower on the tree or the bush.
all I can tell you is I'm feeling pretty barren right now.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, I don't have to be a painter. I've got other abilities, and just it's gotten really tiring, and without inspiration, I could go off and do something else, and you know, I don't have to be a painter or anything like that. I'm really looking for inspiration. Otherwise, I would really rather look at some other avenue and try and make a contribution that way. Because I'm really interested in you know, like you, making a contribution, helping our species to move forward in what's really a difficult time. And there's lots of stuff going on, and clarity is required, as well as connecting the dots and having a vision and you know, having a faith that we as a species can move forward. And there's lots of adversity, so there's a kind of centeredness and a vision, that kind of thing that we need to help one another to move forward and make sure that we move through this particular narrow time into something much more broad. Because right now, I think it's quite dark and very confusing and that kind of thing. So I just want to make a contribution to help move all of us forward. That's really what I'm most interested in.
Okay. But you have to understand that what was just described to you was less about art and more about your journey.
Okay.
And so it's really important, though, for you to look at the barrenness of the cold as a way of becoming prepared for the gestation that allows the blossoming.
So, okay, let me try and understand. And that would be isolation would be cold. So I'd have to look at that.
All right.
And well, any number of that's the worst of it. Or being disconnected from the divine, that feels really cold. So looking at those actual things.
But the disconnection, John, is only a perception. It has nothing to do with truth.
Okay.
What's important for you to understand is that when we as humans feel disconnected from the divine, it has more to do with our self-punishment than the reality of being cut off. Because the divine never separates itself from us. We separate from the divine. And it's not even a separation so much as an extension. So that we pull the curtain down when we feel that we don't deserve to be connected. And that also is not true. It has everything to do with our perception. So what I'm hearing right now is they're asking you to go back 3 years from now. 3 years ago, they're not showing me. They're saying that 3 years ago, there's something that happened in your life that actually ignited a pattern that came forward from 8 years ago that was a devastation of abandonment or a devastation of, maybe devastation is the wrong word, but it's the, the devastation is what triggered your feeling of isolation. And it's as if there were an, what they're showing me is like a wall. This is a circle, by the way. It's a circular wall that you built around yourself, because so as to protect yourself from. What's interesting is you built this wall around yourself to protect yourself from isolation, when in fact it isolated you even further. Does this make any sense to you?
It does somewhat, yeah. Yeah.
Notice how it feels in your body.
Well, oh boy.
just
if
breathe
you want
on
to talk
one.
About the two dates,
yeah,
there's two events. The one 8 years ago, well, it's probably longer now, but the one 3 years ago, I had befriended a small bird. It was blind. It didn't have any eyes, and landed on our front lawn. And my wife gathered it up, and we took care of it. And I just had it in my shirt pocket, and we got to know each other, and it gave me such joy. To make a long story short, it eventually got killed by some predator. We had it under a bird cage, and it was dusk, and something came in. I was upstairs. My wife was in the kitchen, and something attacked it, and it was killed, and we didn't see it. But I grieved for about a month for this little, I think it was a sparrow.
Okay.
Oh, man, it was so painful. And the only thing I can relate to that would be 8 years previously. You know, I had a relationship with a woman. So I guess, you know, if you want to use those two dates, those would be the two events. But I can't quite figure out how I would work a wall around me. Like, I don't quite understand that part of it. I don't really get it. But
well, but you have to understand that what happened 3 years ago was a point of vulnerability. Because what you were experiencing was unconditional love from this wonderful bird.
Yeah,
and all of a sudden,
that's right.
Okay,
that's right. Yeah,
that's what I'm hearing, and that experience was actually expanding to you, and that when the bird died, and was literally ripped from your heart.
Yeah,
is what I'm
that's
hearing.
Right.
Was literally ripped from your heart.
Yeah.
That. You actually likened that to the way your heart was ripped from you from the relationship, as well as a pattern that was present during during a time previous in your life, not only childhood. There were situations that literally, what they're saying is ripped your consciousness from understand from a status quo into a. It's almost like a tumultuous situation. Does that? Can you identify with that?
Well, what I'm hearing is that the feeling of having the heart ripped.
Yeah.
Well, for sure, I felt that one, and so what you're trying to say to me is, I don't need to build a defense around that. How do I deal with that?
Right. All right. First of all, I want you to hold on, and I'm. Don, I've got to get a hold of my producer because my phone is dying. I don't want to lose this connection. So I need my producer to call me back on a different telephone number. So Don, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Call me. All right. Call me back on 216-691-1233. Okay. And caller, John, caller, you stay right there, and
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, here. Information and knowledge. Bringing humanity closer to truth.
Okay, folks, thank you for just holding on. That was a bit of magic that my wonderful producer, Don, was able to do. Thank you, and here we're back with John from Vancouver. Okay, so just you were saying about building your wall. Continue with that.
Well, I'm just taking it from what you told me, and what you picked up on is, you picked up on two dates, one with a woman, and the second with a bird.
Okay.
Where on both occasions, I felt like I had my heart ripped right out of me.
Right.
And so what I'm hearing from you is, somehow I'm building a wall around to protect myself, which only makes it worse.
Right.
So that's sort of what I'm getting from what you're telling me.
Very good. Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Now, if I've been building a wall, I haven't been aware of that.
Right. Of course not.
Yeah. Yeah. And when. This, you know, it's got to sound odd. I really had a loving relationship with this little bird.
I know.
And in fact, the way I feel about this bird is, even though it didn't have eyes when it was alive,
yes,
what I've sworn to myself is that when I pass over, it's going to be my eyesight. Because I just felt this connection with this bird that, when I pass over, I'm going to want to reconnect with this little bird, and it'll kind of be my ally and help me, you know, see through whatever there is in that realm.
Why wait? No. You have to hear that. Don't gloss over that comment. The comment that's asking you is, why wait until you pass over to allow that bird to be your eyes?
Because I don't know how to do that.
Yes, I really don't. Would you like some help with that?
I would love help with that.
Okay, so right now, this is what's coming forward from the Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones. They're asking you to close your eyes and put your right hand over your heart.
Okay.
All right. And what I'm being shown is that there is a pocket there right on your left side, like right there where you would have had that little bird. Is that correct?
yeah.
Notice the emotions that are happening in your heart. Notice what's happening in your body. And what they ask you to do is close your eyes and allow that bird to come forward and merge with your heart.
Wow. Well, we called her Rosebud.
Okay. So recall Rosebud to your heart.
All right.
And allow the emotion, John. Allow the emotion to show up. And now bring that little boy that's within you, that so deeply also wants to see, to partner with that little bird named Rosebud.
Uh-huh. It's, okay, it's pretty emotional right now.
I know it is. I know it is. And you're okay and you're safe.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Now I want you to now what's coming forward is for you to allow yourself to see the path that you're going to walk in nature with Rosebud and your little boy.
Uh-huh.
And allow your heart to open. That's right. There you go. That's right. There you go.
This is like the feeling I had when she passed away.
Right. But just allow it now to be joy, sweetheart. Allow it to be joy because she's back with you. There.
It was just unbelievable when she went. I couldn't believe it. And I thought, why? It was so sudden and shocking, and I knew it meant something. I just could not make sense of it. And it was so painful.
Can you allow her to speak to you?
Oh, I would love it. I would, yeah.
So just allow, just be there with her, and just allow her to speak to you for just a moment.
She had a way with her beak. She pecked on my, I'd cup her, and she would peck my hand, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh, yeah.
She had a way of communicating, and she would get, she would be silent for a while. I'd have her in my shirt pocket, and she'd be okay for a while. And then she'd get restless, and so I'd have to take her out. And then I'd hold her in my hand, and she'd be okay for a while. And then she'd let me know she was getting really restless. She'd peck my hands. Then I'd poke her with my finger, and she would respond with, extra pecks on my hand. And then I'd, maybe put her on my head. And then, being a bird, she'd want to fly. So she would take off, but she couldn't see. So she would, head off and just kind of hit the deck ceiling or whatever and land on the lawn, that kind of thing. Then I'd have to collect her. And then, I'd bring her back and calmer, that kind of thing. Anyway, I don't know what to say about it.
Well, here's what's coming forward is that what she was doing for you is opening your heart to yourself.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
All right. And so what she did in life can actually be bigger now that she's in spirit. It's up to you to be willing to allow it.
So you're saying that can happen now?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm saying it
well,
just
I,
did.
I hear that.
You just felt it.
Okay.
No, notice what was happening in your body. It just did.
Well, yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
You see? And so the reality is it's about shifting from the grief into joy.
Uh-huh.
Because now she's available to you, really 24/7, but in
yeah.
a different way, because within spirit, she has the ability to see beyond what you can see. Because at one time you were her eyes, and now she will be your eyes.
Well, that's what I felt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So the idea here is just hear this for a minute. What
okay.
you need to look at, all right, and what would be important for you to really consider is that when you have a challenge or when you need to open your heart, you need to call on Rosebud.
Okay.
Okay, and
that is such a joyful notion.
Yeah.
It's just totally amazing to me.
It's right there for you.
Okay, well, thank you so much for telling me that.
Yeah, Yeah, and the thing is that it's really about allowing yourself and being willing to be open to hear, see, and feel the joy of being of allowing this being of light, because she may have manifested in the physicality of a bird, but clearly, John, she was not a bird. She was a light. And she was
spirit.
She
was something else, I can tell you that.
She was spirit, because that, you see, that's what you needed at the time.
Oh, man.
And what's important for you to understand is not only did you need that at the time, but now, because, and you have to understand that when she left the way she did, she needed to go back into spirit so she could actually be more powerful for you now than ever within a physicality.
That's amazing to hear that. I think I kind of knew that, but to hear that from you is really consolidating.
Mm-hmm. You see, what you have to offer the world is a sensitivity of compassion and a faith of knowing. And the only way that you could have possibly integrated all of that was with having both of those experiences that was like to connect the dots so that you, it's almost like that you could be open and then uplifted and now renewed.
Amazing.
Now again, notice how that feels in your body. Does that feel like truth to you?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I knew there was some kind of truth to this very painful experience.
Right.
So the way you've put it together, like the way you described that she was spirit in the form of a bird.
Correct.
Like, I never considered it that way, but now that you've put it that way, and the way it's affected my heart, that really makes sense. Like, I can make sense of that,
mm-hmm.
whereas before I couldn't make sense of it. So, I thank you for that, and that's really helpful. And it's the first time that I've had some feeling of relief and joy from that. So I'm really thankful for that.
Good.
Good. So it's really been helpful.
Well, that's good. And
yeah.
You have to understand that, you know, we're all on the chess game. We're all on the chessboard.
Okay.
And when one of us moves one way, another comes in to assist. And this wonderful game board, if you will, is run by this wonderful being of light known as universal consciousness, creator, love, whatever word comes forward. And that when we set ourselves up to be open to the alignment of Source, Source always swoops in and connects us in a way that we couldn't possibly orchestrate for ourselves.
You know, I use the word Source. I've tried to develop this personal method, if you want to call it that, and that is I relate it to just breathing in. So during excuse me, most of the day, I'm going breathing in Source, breathing in Source, or breathing in wisdom, or breathing in compassion, and I'm concentrating my mind to do that most of the day. The only thing is like I don't really feel any differently. You know, I go about my day and I get frustrations, that kind of thing. But I'm always coming back to that, and because I'm not feeling any differently, I kind of think, well, is this a waste of time? Or because I'm still, you know, dealing with the normal critic that goes, oh, well, have you seen any difference? And I go, well, no, I haven't. So, well, why are you wasting this time? And I'm going, well, actually, I'm just not going to pay attention to you. I'm going to pay attention to developing this intent to make a connection with the divine related to my breath, and that's my intent, because I can't think of anything more meaningful to do than that. But until you've talked to me about, you know, Rosebud and the bird, like, I haven't had that kind of emotion. You know, you've really, really opened up, and you've really given me some understanding. So, I'll just leave that with you.
That's wonderful. Thank you. Next time you do your breathing exercises, you may want to consider breathing in love.
Well, I've included love too, as well. See, what really gets me living in anger, which is I live a lot in anger, is like I can go breathe in love, and I do breathe in compassion. I do breathe in wisdom, and I do breathe in source. But I don't actually feel any differently. And then I get wound up into this kind of anger thing where it goes, well, you know, no matter what you try, no matter what you do, it's the same scenario here where it's kind of narrow and angry and tight and not moving forward and not doing anything different. And I just get wound up in that thing. Whatever it is, I don't really know what it is. I just know it's really difficult and unpleasant.
So
no matter,
in those situations, in those situations, what do you think Rosebud would do?
What do I think Rosebud would do? That's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
I think she would, you know, flap her wings and, you know, take off and try and fly. Or,
but maybe she'd get restless.
Oh,
maybe
she definitely would get restless.
And maybe she'd get restless, and maybe she'd want to move positions.
She would do that a lot, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So the idea here is that when frustration shows up, all it's telling you is you've been stagnant.
Yeah.
And you're in the same position for too long, and it's
right.
Time to move. So the reality is that stagnation is what creates frustration. So you may want to look at what you feel stagnated about that's frustrating you. And then, oh boy, you're really going to think this is off the wall. But what I'm being shown is that you go someplace private, because you really don't want to do what I'm about to tell you in public, and you go and flap your wings. Like, go in the bathroom.
Well, I am planning a trip to Brazil.
No, I'm just saying it's about moving your arms up and down as if you were flapping your wings.
You mean physically flapping my arms like?
I mean physically flap your arms. It's like when you get really frustrated, move into a space of privacy, and just flap your arms as if you were flying.
Oh yeah. Well,
there's something about that may help.
I've been building birds, if that, you know, out of wood. Like,
okay.
Normally I'm a painter, but
okay.
Lately I've been building birds, and I've just built a seagull where I've got the seagull's wings flapping.
Oh,
so it's
wow.
funny
How
that
great.
you mentioned that.
That's what they're showing me. They're showing
really?
Me move into the freedom. See, what was going on with this sweet little bird named Rosebud is that she was trapped in her own body, and she couldn't do what she most wanted to do, which was fly. And so what that symbolism is saying to you is, what is there that you most want to do that you have imprisoned yourself from doing?
Uh-huh.
So take that symbolism, and so instead she traded her eyes for love.
Sorry, run that by me again.
She traded her eyes for love.
She traded her eyes for love.
Yeah, when you found her, she had no eyes.
That's right.
She came in with no eyes.
Yeah.
Because her search was for love. She thought her freedom was in flying. Her true freedom was in love.
So she found it with me?
Exactly.
Holy schmoly. That's, man, I would never have thought of that in a gazillion years, but it really makes sense.
Uh-huh.
Because how did she find her way to me?
Exactly.
Wow. That makes, you know what, hearing that makes me think that life just has, how do I put this? Just, it's so incredible. You can't put any kind of limitation on it. You
right.
can't put any barriers on it. It's going to arrive in any incredible kind of way.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what you're telling me, and I've just never considered it that way, and I really appreciate hearing this. This really makes a difference to, like, I can feel my heart opening up.
Right.
Good. It's so fantastic, and it's exactly what I want to hear. You know, just a story like that, or an interpretation of what's happened to you know, my life and what's in my life. I just love hearing that. It just makes such a difference.
Well, that's the one of the reasons. That's the reason you called.
I've been looking. I've been listening to you for, I would say, 4 weeks now, and I could sense something in just, you know, from listening to you that. You do have important things to say, and you do have a wisdom. I'll put it that way. So, and that's why, like, I've tried a couple of times before, and so this is the first time I've made the connection. And man, got a lot of emotion, and I feel my heart has been moved. So.
Good. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's at this point that we thank Source for allowing us to partner together, all of us. I mean,
so that's what you're doing now. You're thanking Source right now for this connection.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I will thank Source with you, and I will acknowledge that with you right now.
Thank you. And thank Rosebud, too.
I will thank Rosebud, and she's a special little connection with Source. And I will acknowledge that as well, and I'm very grateful to have met Rosebud. And if Source, you know, gave me Rosebud that way, then so be it. And man, does my heart open up to that one.
Now, thank yourself for being willing to experience all the experiences you've ever experienced that have brought you to today.
All right, I hear that, I acknowledge it, and I thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You have a blessed new year. And notice that you are an important being of light on this planet, John. And really receive that to the depths that you can and allow it to grow.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, we're over time, but our producers have let us go, and that's wonderful. So we want to thank them for letting us go over time. So this was an important conversation, because make no mistake, this conversation has moved many, many lives and inspired many people tonight, more than you could possibly know, more than I could possibly know.
If I can do that... And I'm so happy to be able to do that.
Well, you've done it.
All right. I'm just really, really happy to you know, just contribute to that.
Well, continue to contribute, yes. Yeah,
yes.
Continue to contribute also with your art. And you may want to one day write your story of Rosebud.
I've thought about it many times.
It's time. It could be a beautiful story.
I hear that.
Now listen to me. But hear this. What a beautiful children's story it would be.
I know, I know. I've illustrated kids' books. Like, I'm very well aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You
know, I've thought
absolutely.
About this, and I have illustrated kids' books already, so.
So, you got to do it.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Please send me a copy when it's done. I'd love to see it.
I'll definitely do that.
Okay, great. That's good. All right,
okay.
John. Well, you take care.
Right.
You have a great, great evening. Thank you so much for calling. It was
Thank
a blessing.
You.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, we are so over time, but we so thank Doug Newsom for allowing it. Such an important conversation with John. And so key, you know, with the birds dying, that this story would come out about this sweet, beautiful spirit by the name of Rosebud. And so what is important for this time is for you to discover the Rosebud in your life. What has inspired you with unconditional love? And if for some reason you can't pinpoint anything, then you feel free to make it up. Create a wonderful being that you can count on for unconditional love. You're so worth it. This has been a great time together. We need to close the show now. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their wonderful, wonderful healing information tonight. We ask that all those listening, may your heart be opened, your burdens be lifted, and may you truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Show by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Anybody who would like to call me privately certainly is welcome at 216-691-1233. Good night, everybody. Have a miracle-filled week, and we'll talk to you next week. Happy 2011, and remember, 1-11-11 on Tuesday. Create your miracles. Bye-bye.